Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 196 of the Pico Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emilson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And it has been a couple of weeks since we last...
It's been one.
It has been two weeks since our last episode.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, God. It has. We missed last week.
You're right. Okay, yes.
Yeah,
we missed one week.
But fair enough. That's actually kind of convenient because War Within Alpha came out. You know, catching the hype on that would have been kind of nice. But the Master of Harmony tree, which is the final hero talent tree for Brewmaster and Mistweaver, went in with that. So we have that now. And it was busted. Like, it just wasn't implemented in the initial alpha. It has now been fully implemented. So we have a lot more information on that now. Yep. As well as Season 4 released this week. So
yes, we have lots to talk about.
We're gonna talk about Vault of the Incarnates for the first time in a while. And maybe something about the dungeons. like what they did to my boy Chargath.
Or just how, what is it? Dawn of the Infinite is just on hard mode. It's wild. The
hard mode Dotty where it gets harder if you wipe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. So let's jump into how has season four been treating you
and it's a season four again, I guess. We've sort of now it's part duh. Second time we're going through this. So we got to go back and do Vault of the Incarnates. So haven't been in there in about a year, I'll say. It was interesting. I had forgotten so a couple things. Number one, I'm not healing this tier, so I'm playing Hunter, so DPSing. So it's a much different approach, I'll say. And it's just, it's nice to go back. Heroic, we did, so the way that my guild sort of clears this stuff nowadays is we'll do a heroic run, then we'll do a full normal run, and then any leftover time we'll hit mythic when we can, right? Like the idea is we're not clearing mythic this first week anyway. And I guess in a couple of weeks, we'll be able to go wherever we want and we'll finish the achievements at that point, right?
Yeah.
So it was good to get back in there. We full cleared heroic and normal and then killed the first boss on mythic in our first raid night. And then we went back. We're still doing mythic Phyrax, so got a mythic Phyrax kill in and then proceeded to wipe to Teros and Senarth, yeah. Got Taros down, which after about 8 wipes, and then Senarth, we're just bad. Like people, it's just bad. Like we're just not good. We had a bad raid, I'll say.
We had some people just need to play better moments towards the end of season 3. Some real heart to heart, like please just play the fuck better.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. And I mean we. Our second raid is tonight, so we haven't finished yet, but we are, we kind of blitzed it. We did a normal run on Wednesday, is like an extra raid night, but we cleared it in like 40 minutes. So,
yeah, it was a
joke. Then people went back to doing dungeons. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, went on our normal raid night and we did heroic. Very straightforward. We were able to do some stuff that was like clearly the tuning on this is lower, which is good, and I'm happy with that because we were able to like zero platform Dathia.
Yeah, we did
on one. Heroic.
Yeah, we ended up doing one platform on Dathia in heroic, so but we definitely zeroed it on normal, like just blitzed it.
And then we cleared the first three on mythic, so we did. Was Aranog, Council, and Taros. Taros is a fun fight. I like that fight.
Oh, we got Council because we got a trinket. People are freaking out. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No trinket. Well, we got a normal version of the trinket, but which we gave to a healer so they could be a buff bot.
Nice.
And then we went to do Phyrex, but we actually ran into a combination of weak aura and internet issues. So we switched weak auras from, so Phyrex specifically, we used liquid weak auras. Every other boss in Emir Vasil, we used Northern Sky.
Oh.
Phyrex, we used the liquid ones. But for season four, we've deleted all of that. We're just using straight Northern Sky, all three raids, which meant that we got into Fyrak and all of our intermission assignments were different.
Nice. Yeah. Cause yeah, they, yeah.
The week ours work differently.
It's so funny because we did the exact opposite, which is like we use Northern Sky up until Fyrak and then basically liquid. And now it's only liquid week ours is like the only thing we're using. So that's awesome. We did backwards.
So we went to, we ended up also having a healer DC like three pulls in. And we were just like, okay, we have like not that much raid time left. So we're gonna call it here. And I went and I replaced that weak aura with the liquid intermission weak aura. And I'm like 99% sure it's going to work tonight. So, nice. You know, fingers crossed. Nice. But yeah, it's been pretty chill. And I'm glad about that. We had the experience in Shadowlands season four of like letting people play whatever they wanted and like a bunch of people role swapping and all that stuff. And it was a disaster. So yeah. we've kept this much closer to a regular raid tier, but like the only thing that we really are like, you guys need to do this outside of raid is this week they had to get the normal run in. Didn't matter if it was with us or with somebody else and four dungeons. Like,
yeah.
And then after this week, it's just like, get some dungeons done so that you're not holding back the raid with no eye level.
Yeah. You know, we shifted, and the funny thing is like our shifts aren't because people wanted to, like it's essentially people, well, I guess it was because people wanted to, but it's like they were moving roles like officially. Right. Okay, so yeah. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, I don't want to heal this tier. It was more like, I don't want to heal ever again after Fyrak. So. we'll see how that goes because the mystery stuff is kind of cool coming up. The one thing I want to talk about just real quick before we get off this is Blizzard added, I don't think we ever deep dive. We talked a little bit about this, but they added a new dinar-like system for the season called bullions. And basically the idea is like you can buy all of the trinkets and weapons, I guess, from each tier. and I guess some other maybe special cantrip items. For 2 bullion. So basically you get 1 bullion a week. Every other week you can buy a new item. And my question is like, do you like this system?
So dinar, for those that maybe need a refresher on where that landed, dinar required 30 unique boss kills in order to get your first dinar, which got you one item at the base normal item level that you then spent your, there were special like normal and heroic and mythic upgrade, or I guess heroic and mythic upgrade items in season four of Shadowlands that you use to turn it into a mythic version of the item. This is an item that like you get 1 bullion per week just by doing the raid content.
Yep.
And then so like every 2 weeks you're going to be able to buy an item. So it's much more free. Like before it was like minimum 3 weeks if you full cleared every raid.
Yeah.
And then the next one was like 2 weeks. And the one after that was like a week. And you had all of them, but you only had three, right? Yeah,
for the entire season.
This is going to be much more free. I like that it's much more free. That makes it a lot less stressful. People, like, it feels bad. We had some situations where, like, people were like, I'm going to buy this best in slot trinket with my dinar. Yeah. And then we just, like, got four or five of them over the course of, like, our kills, and then there's the feel bad of like, well, I would have spent it on something else if I had known we were going to get all of these trinkets that we never saw in the original season.
Exactly.
So I like that it's more free because it helps paper over that feel bad with like, okay, well, if we get a bunch of them, you can just buy another item.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, because you get so much of this. Yeah, no, I'm a fan of like that, and then like the speed at which you get it too, because like. Yeah. I will say that like at least for hunters, right? And Mistweaver sort of falls into this is like, or not really, but Hunter definitely does this, is like all the best in slot items are from Vault.
Like, yeah.
The ring set is really good.
The CCT weapon, trinket from Kurog?
No, it's actually, well, I mean, the Whispering. Really? It's the
Oh, is it Whispering? Trick.
Whispering, and then technically it's the trinket out of Dottie, but you could also use Grief Torch.
Oh, okay.
But no, so it's like it's funny that it's all there, and like the weapon from Razageth is like the best in slot by a mile.
The first legendary of this expansion,
exactly. That wasn't really legendary. And so, like, it sucks because number one, we didn't see the weapon on any of our two kills on normal or heroic. And, like, we probably won't see mythic. Like, maybe next clear we'll see mythic. But even then,
I watched when Liquid was pulling mythic Razageth on Tuesday.
Yeah.
No, we're not pulling that this week.
Yeah. Well, no.
If we somehow get there, which would be a miracle because Diurna is still pretty hard, Kurog's pretty hard. We're just going to skip Dathia. We're not doing Dathia this week. If we've reached Razageth, we might like spend a couple pulls in phase one, just like reminding people how the fight works and then call it a night, but that's it.
Yeah, no. So that's the thing. So it's just, it's nice that you can just sort of purchase that stuff and then you can upgrade it all the way through. Yeah. So like I basically saved all my crests cause like I'll buy the weapon on Monday and then just upgrade it to max and then forget about it, right? So
I'm playing Blood Decay again because I played Blood Decay for season one because of Diurna and Razageth. I played it for season three because of Phyrex and Tindril, and actually mostly Phyrex and Tindril. And it's like it's good for Skarn and some other things too in season two. So like I'm just playing it because it's just we want one, so I'm gonna play it. And that means my bullion is already determined. I'm buying the legendary upgrade next week.
Exactly. Yeah.
The last thing I'll say about the current kind of bullion system is it definitely removed some pressure from like handling loot because it's so much more free. You know, if you want a grief torch, even if it's like your fourth best thing, you can just go buy a grief torch.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which means that like if we get one to drop, we can give it out and be like, okay, listen, I know every single one of you wants this item, but we can only give it to one of you and we're going to give it to one of you and the rest of you can buy it. And we know that and it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that happens. We had a weapon off of Taros, the instaff, I think. And we ended up giving it to our Mistweaver because like the mages were like, well, we're just going to buy a different weapon like
next week
with Dinar because it's like this is good for like the next couple of days. But to be fair, not best in slot, like we'll replace it. So, no. Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. I will say the one thing that I wish is that the raids were easier. I think just in general, like not that heroic, like you said, normal in 45 minutes. I think we were pretty much the same heroic. We had. Like I don't even think we wiped to Razageth, but we did wipe to Diurna and to what's the fire guy, Kurog, that has the four elements or whatever.
Kurog, yeah.
Yeah, we wiped there because our tags forgot you have to move him spots. Like you can't just sit in fire for
the entire phase. Oh, we sat in fire the whole time.
Oh no, we died on heroic easily. It was great. So I mean, like, other than those two things, I just wish in general the difficulty was lower because, like, having again the reprogging of this stuff is just not, it's just not fun. It's just not fun.
Yeah.
Like, I got CD. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's an element of like, we intentionally, like, we went out of our way after our experience in season four of Shadowlands.
Yeah.
We went out of our way to be like, we are not reprogging. We are going to play the long game.
Yeah.
And we are going to come back to some of these harder bosses when we just outgear it, just hard outgear it. We're gonna do Dathia on Mythic when we can one platform that boss and not worry about the hard parts of the fight. We're just not gonna sit there and reprog Dathia Mythic.
And yeah, I think that makes sense.
Like, so there's things like we're gonna go hit Cenarth, and Cenarth is really 100% going, like you were talking about this. It's just people have to play good.
Yeah,
we. Taros, if for those that don't remember Vault of the Incarnate Spark, Taros was the DPS check for Cenarth. If you can kill Taros, you have the DPS for Cenarth. So it's just staying alive and killing the big spiders in time. That's the only thing that matters for Cenarth Mythic.
Yeah.
Kurog is another DPS check. Followed by Dathia, that's another DPS check, and then Diurna that's not, and then Razageth that's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I think we're on the same boat. It's just I just wish it was in general, just I don't like reprogging stuff. That's my only downfall of season four. I think the new bullion system is perfect. I think in terms of like the pace at which you'll get items and the fact that you can upgrade to the max, it's awesome.
How do you feel about the dungeons before we
the dungeons? It's cool to go back. I mean, like, I think it's funny remembering back to season one when we did all those dungeons, like the ones that I hated as a healer, I still hate as a DPS. So like Ruby Life Pools. Unfun. And then, funnily enough, Algathar Academy, it's essentially, can you do the first pull and tree boss? Like, that's the gauge on if it's going to be a great run. Because if you wipe at any point before that first boss, it's going to be bad. Like, it's going to be a slog. So
I don't even, at least on Tyrannical, right? I don't go there first. I go to the elemental boss, the arcane elemental.
Okay.
And we lost that because that boss is pretty rough. But like, the tree boss is a lot more chill, where if you can do one cycle, you can kind of do all of them. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the groups that I'm in, because I'm like, I generally pug a lot when I do. It's just, it's like tough. Like, we'll do the first, like, ad phase, perfect, run around in a circle, great.
Yeah.
And then it progressively gets, like, all of a sudden there's ads, like, 40 yards away.
I will say that, like, I am playing that boss on a little bit of easy mode because I'm playing Blood DK, right?
So you just stand
ads being in Africa does not matter.
Oh,
because
true.
I have grabby hands for the first one, and that fixes that problem. I have mass grip for the second one, fixes that problem. Yeah. Third one, I don't have anything, but like, we haven't actually hit, I've been doing guild groups, we just haven't hit the third one.
Yeah. No, it's been, but I mean, other than that, they've been fine. Like, it's cool to go back to them. Like, I haven't been in Eltharis in like years, in like a year, and like, that's a cool one to go back to. Like, I forgot about Chargath. The chain boss.
Oh boy. The way they changed Chargath took some figuring out. So for, like, that boss was so easy in season two. So easy. It was just like, don't troll your group with chains and it's easy. Now it actually just destroys the tank.
Yeah.
They nerfed that boss, the damage done to the tank, by 25%. And it's much more chill now. But yeah, it was a nightmare when I was doing it on like Wednesday.
Yeah, but I mean, other than that, I think the dungeons are, I mean, it's a cool like throwback to start with. Yeah, I've been in them for forever, so
yeah.
I haven't really had any issues with it. It's cool. Yeah, I like them all, other than Ruby Life Pools, which even as a DPS is like super annoying to get two shot by some caster ad that you're like, I don't have interrupts, I don't have a stun, like my group
but
is
you
like
you don't have a Vengeance Demon Hunter. That's clearly the issue.
I just don't have. So stupid. They just do a stupid amount of damage. It's dumb.
Yeah. The thing that I'll say that, like, season four of Shadowlands, I played a mage. I was a DPS that season. Going back and doing like Vault of the Incarnates again, but I'm playing the thing I played in Vault of the Incarnates originally. It's been really interesting to be like, oh, look at how much better I have gotten at like handling this stuff. So that's been kind of cool.
Nice. Yeah, no, I've been, I will say I'm a lot more chill playing DPS and keys too than I was playing a healer. So it's definitely a nice change of pace. So, I want to move on real quick. We have the two news items, then we can get into War Within stuff. So, real quick, just two little news items that came out this week. Number one, BlizzCon is canceled this year. Blizzard made the decision not to hold it in 2024. But they will be doing some things to commemorate the 30th anniversary of Warcraft. So this is the 30th anniversary since Warcraft 1 came out. We'll see what that means. It probably just means like smaller events. But yeah, no BlizzCon this year, with the potential of BlizzCon coming back the following year. But we'll see. I mean, other than this, kind of sucks. To not have a BlizzCon, because I think that is a really cool time for people to get together, talk about the game. It's always fun. I imagine this has a little bit to do with, I think, number one, Blizzard, other than the War Within coming out, not a ton of new games for this BlizzCon.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I think the other thing is the Microsoft merger, in like changing some of the structure of how maybe Microsoft wants them to do events in the future. So
yeah. And these things they have to start planning them way the hell out.
Oh, yeah. They would have already had basically everything planned at this point, right? Like in a normal BlizzCon year. So, that kind of stinks.
The real secret here is the actual BlizzCon is going to be at Anomaly's house.
No. Wife would kill me. she can't handle it when I have like friends over to watch a race some weekend. So imagine like a couple hundred people showing up.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. A couple hundred people showing up at Anomaly's house in November.
Jesus. The other big news item is that we did get a release date for Missing Pandaria Remix. So May 16th, which is in three-ish weeks at this point.
Is it really 3 weeks? Yeah, you're right, it is.
So in about 3 weeks, we'll get Missing Pandaria Remix, which we talked about this, I think, gosh, maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm super stoked for this. I'm probably going to level up something, just to have it leveled up, and go through this stuff because it's really cool. And I actually, it's funny, this is it's a weird transition because I have a bunch of, like I've mentioned this before, a lot of my friends came back that I previously played Warcraft with to play Season Discovery. So they're like heavy into Season Discovery. I sort of pop in every once in a while, but they're interested in this and potentially coming back and playing retail, mm-hmm. which is actually kind of cool. So it's like an easy way to get a character up to max level. Some fun stuff that we all get to sort of experience together. So I'm stoked. Yeah. But May 16th.
We talked about this some on the last episode. Like, this is very much like trying the Season of Discovery formula, but for retail. Again, even more accelerated than Season of Discovery. Like, everything releases at once, and it's going to last until probably the War Within pre-patch or release, and just be like, this is our pre-patch leveling event. The early release is so weird. It's going to be releasing like the first week of the second rotation of season four. And on the one hand, I think that's fine. But on the other, it does really undercut people who want to take season four somewhat seriously, which we kind of, as a guild, kind of mutually decided that we're not.
Yeah.
Like, we're taking it as seriously as we need to make sure that we're not wasting everyone's time in raid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing I would say is that this event probably doesn't seem like it's going to cross over with someone who's going to take... It's going to cross over with someone who likes World of Warcraft in general and plays a lot, but it's not going to cross over into the person who's like, well, I kind of want to dip my toes back into playing retail, and like, I want a max level character. Like, how do I do that? Because they're not going to be heavy into Season 4 stuff at that point.
Yeah, that's actually... So you say that. My younger brother is... thought about playing WoW before, but it's really intimidating to get into, and there's a lot to do before you can even, like, he would even be able to play with me at the end level stuff. So there's actually some potential there where, like, if it works out with the other game releases going on at the time, which I don't know that I think it comes out enough before the Destiny 2
is June 4th,
enough before that like they might be interested in giving it a shot. But that's the kind of thing where, like, you know, there is something really nice about taking this thing and making it something that is like you can engage with immediately as a new player and be playing with people who are longtime established players that are maybe your friends or maybe just people you haven't, like, just people you run into.
Yep.
So
yeah, no, I think it's a cool thing. I mean, one of the interviews, which I don't know if we'll get to talk about it, but one of the interviews, Holly mentioned, like, this team is being like, this experimental team is a team, like a fully set up team that sort of came out with Plunderstorm, is doing this remix thing. And Jeremy Fiesel is actually running it. So if you don't know, Jeremy Muffins is his in-game Muffiness. Or Twitter handle. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the secret guy, right? He's the guy who designed all the previous, like, nightmare mounts and all the weird secrets that were in WoW. So it's cool that, and those were always a fun, weird thing, right? Like, WoW didn't have a lot of, like, full community, like, secret stuff like that. So him in charge of this experimental team, I think, is really cool. And I think them adding this additional stuff on top of the game is nice. I think there will become a point where it becomes a little bit of a... I don't think so. I just maybe talk a little about what Holly said, because when this came up in the interview that Mr. GM did with Holly, they basically come in the context of, like, Plunderstorm being a limited release thing. And the main reason is it wasn't designed to be a, like, constant game mode. She's like, we designed 40 levels of Renowned, and that's it. So, like, when you hit 40, she's like, there's nothing else to do other than you love to play the game mode. So there's no other rewards coming.
Which
it wasn't set up to be extended. So I'm like,
Plunderstorm is fun. I would not have done the grind to 40 without the, like, double rep buff they released. I think it actually really benefited as well from being a limited release thing, because it's like the way that players treat it and evaluate it. Like, I went and I played it as much as I felt like I wanted to, and then didn't play it anymore. And I enjoyed it, and I, you know, it's not going to become the Strand of the Ancients thing where, like, people are like, this is neat the first, you know, few weeks that it's out, and then they're like, this sucks for the next 3 years that it's out, well, until it gets removed.
Yeah. I mean, I played it. I hit 40 and then never loaded back into another game. I think I might have done one duos with a buddy. Yeah. But like, it was, it's cool that they designed. The reason I brought it up is I think it's cool that they're designing things that are meant to be limited releases. Yeah. So I think that's the interesting part of like, you can do weirder things and potentially even fun things in that limited release capacity. Yeah. And they can put it to the side of like the main game. So it's stuff you can jump into and try out or whatever. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. And you don't, quote unquote, you don't lose a raid tier because they designed this system, right? If you care about that or like whatever it ends up being, which, so that's cool. All right. Well, Remix May 16th, get in there, play some of the best expansion, and then get to play two of the best raids that Blizzard has ever released. So, I should, so funny. Sorry. One aside thing. Hunter pets are now my new obsession, by the way. I'm done with mounts. So I didn't realize you can get the Iron Juggernaut as a pet.
Oh yeah.
So like I did see Juggernaut.
All the old raids.
Oh dude, it was so I got what's his name? The dinosaur. He's my lust pet now. Mm-hmm. I got the little scorpion, the Iron Juggernaut scorpion. That's my master's call pet. God, it's
you so missed fun. The good old days where the raid mounts were bugged and they would be really big as hunter pets.
Damn it, you're right.
You missed it. But yeah, it was giant dinosaurs and Dalaran.
I had known about it because I think I got Cro-Magus when they first put that in with Beastmaster Hunter, like really well, like super long ago. And I never kept up with all the different sort of mounts you can have. So no, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. I got the original spirit. What is it?
Lokenahawk?
The cat from
Sholas Ar Basin.
Sholas Ar Basin. Yeah.
Yep.
Got them. Had to do some mastery or magic with that by creating a class trial on an RP realm, a low population RP realm, finding it, creating a group and group finder, inviting my hunter, like logging in and out of the game. Oh, anyway. Yeah. All right, that's enough about my fun hunter shenanigans with pets.
Yeah. So the other thing, Alpha came out in the past 2 weeks.
Yep.
I have Alpha. I don't think Anomaly has Alpha yet. But
I have no friends at Blizzard anymore, so no Alpha for me.
Big unfortunate. I still do. So I have Alpha, and I've been playing it, and I've done the dungeons. I've played with both Master of Harmony and Shadowpan as Brewmaster. I did the zone, all kinds of fun stuff. Master of Harmony is the new hero talent tree that we have not gotten a chance to talk about yet. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. It was super bugged the first week of Alpha release. So, just super incomplete. Like half the talents were marked as not yet implemented. Some of them had like stuff, they were doing things, but they were very clearly wrong. Yeah. So all kinds of bugged. But Shadowpan was in, so I've played with that a bunch. It's the other thing. So I guess our kind of thing, we're going to talk about Master of Harmony, or Hero Talent Tree, which is actually kind of divergent from Mistweaver and Brewmaster, but we can talk about it. And then the new class tree that we got, and then maybe also the new Mistweaver talent tree. I don't know how prepped you are to talk about that one though.
Yeah, we're good. We can talk about that a little bit. There's a couple new talents in there, so we can go through those for sure.
Yeah. So the Master of Harmony tree, I'm going to just pull up the description because I couldn't find it on Wowhead, so I had to actually log into the alpha to get this description of the stupid tree. Nice. This is not the description that I expected. What it reads is Master of Harmony chase physical perfection and the refinement of the body into pure strength, allowing them to tap into the flow of chi and natural cycles of power. This like thematically overlaps a lot with Shadowpan, which really confuses me. But you know, this is the part of Shadowpan that I like. Less so the like ninja bits of Shadowpan. Yeah. So, you know, this is more my speed on the thematic level. Just get that out there before we dive into it. The tree. So we talked a lot about Shadowpan, how for Brewmaster, it did not really fit. Like the mechanics of the tree didn't work very well with Brewmaster's current kit. Shadowpan does. Or not Shadow. Master of Harmony does.
Master of Harmony,
Master of Harmony sure does. Oh boy. Let's go through this tree. So we're not going to go through every node. There's a bunch of utility in here. I'm going to talk about some of the interesting ones. Uh-huh. But the top node, the one you get first for just picking it at level 71, is Aspect of Harmony. So you store vitality equal to 20% of your damage dealt and 10% of your healing for 10 seconds after casting Celestial Brew. I don't know what it is for Mistweaver.
Thunder Focus T.
Yep. Your spells and abilities draw upon the stored vitality to deal 25% additional damage for 8 seconds. Is it additional healing?
It's healing for Mistweavers, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So this is pretty good. Just as a baseline, like, this is so much better than the first thing you get as Shadowpan for Brewmaster that, like, barely functions.
Yeah.
I've done Shadowpan in dungeons, and you get, like, I have logs of both Windwalker and Brewmaster, and you get literally 1/3 the number of Flurry Strike procs as Brewmaster as you do on Windwalker, because you just spend so much less energy. It's wild. It needs work. Anyway, this one just kind of works. I think, I don't know about for Mistweaver, but it sure as hell does for Brewmaster.
Yeah, I mean, for Mistweaver, you're going to end up hitting Thunder Focus T to empower your spells every 30 seconds anyway. So, like, the idea is you're going to trigger this every 30 seconds. So every 30 seconds, you have an additional 25, you know, you have an additional amount of healing and potentially damage, right? Or sorry, only healing for Mistweaver. So additional amount of healing on all of your spells. So it's just basically now you again turn Thunder Focus D into kind of a mini, maybe not a mini cooldown, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but like there's a mini burst of healing essentially every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
For Mistweaver. So it's not, I mean, it's nice. I think comparing it, you know, we can compare and contrast it to the other one. The problem with kind of the Celestials, and they've changed this, but the cooldown reduction of that is very good for Mistweaver. So like,
yeah.
And so like whenever you get cooldown reduction versus just additional healing on a set timer, like generally speaking, cooldown reduction, I think will win out, but it's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah. This like this one talent by itself currently is probably better numerically than the entire Shadowpan tree.
that's wild.
For Brewmaster, that, and obviously like this is super early alpha, numbers are going to change, but that's to kind of put it into context. How much the Shadow Pan tree needs to improve. Nice. So immediately below that talent, we have some stuff buffing Chi Burst and Chi Wave. And we will talk a little bit maybe about Chi Wave. It's a passive now. It's still in the class tree, but it's now a passive. So it's not a button you have to push on your bars. So that's actually kind of like, oh, you know, this actually seems a lot better knowing that Chi Wave is now just like a thing that you get for pushing your buttons against something you don't have to have. That, like, it's on my Z key. You know how often I push my Z key to push Chi Wave? It's not that often.
I've never had it bound. I don't think I have Chi Burst bound as a Mistweaver, so.
But your fey line resets. Anyway, you probably don't need that.
I don't need that in raid.
Yeah. We also have a balanced stratagem. Casting a physical spell or ability increases the damage or healing of healing of your next fire or nature spell or ability by 5% and vice versa, stacks up to 5 times. So this is actually kind of tilted towards kick weaving for Mistweaver, right? Where you use your like Rising Sun kick is physical, Blackout kick is physical, Tiger Palm is physical.
Yeah.
And that's going to buff your nature-based Vivify, right?
Yeah, your healing abilities that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for Brewmaster, this like is going to buff Breath of Fire, which is pretty cool. It's also going to buff, I think Keg Smash is actually fire damage. But don't quote me on that.
Nice.
And then we have the first choice node. The choice for Brewmaster is between Purified Spirit and Harmonic Gambit. So Purified Spirit reads, when Aspect of Harmony ends, any remaining vitality is released as damage over 8 seconds split among nearby targets. So this is basically like you build up your vitality pool by doing damage. You push Celestial Brew. It's going to do extra damage for a few seconds. And at the end, any damage that hasn't been spent is going to get dumped out by Purified Spirit.
Yeah. And so for Mistweaver, it's similar concept, except it's healing that's dumped out. So any healing that remains is basically spread across nearby targets. I don't know if we have a target count for that, but Yeah, over 8 seconds. It gets nearby targets, get healing. So,
And then Harmonic Gambit is the other choice. During Aspect of Harmony, expel harm and vivify, withdraw vitality to heal.
Oh, that's it's the opposite for Mistweaver. So it's same idea. During Aspect of Harmony, your Rising Sun Kick, Black Oak, and Tiger Palm also withdraw vitality to damage enemies. So it basically increases your damage during the during the Aspect of Harmony.
So this is a really strange one. Like I don't see how you use Vivify as a Brewmaster on this. Like this, remember, you can't pick this as Windwalker. So this is not something where you can take this as a Windwalker in arenas, right? And like use it to like get a giga Vivify off healing kind of stuff. Maybe you could do Brewmaster PvP. I don't know. Please don't. But I like the Vivify is really kind of all out of place there. Expel Harm is good though.
Yeah.
That was not implemented last week when I was playing around. I have not gotten back on Alpha yet to test. So I don't know how big this bonus is, but you know, you do tend to use Celestial Brew when you need defensives and you need healing. So like there's a good chunk of time where like, you know, you're tanking Phyrex and you hit Celestial Brew for one of the frontals, and then you immediately hit Expel Harm afterward to top yourself back up. And like, you know, I could see that actually being useful to just make sure you actually get topped.
Yeah.
And we'll get some into, again, like references to the class tree. Some of the current synergies with Expel Harm have been either removed or put into choice nodes. So there are fewer buffs to Expel Harm that are accessible for Brewmaster.
Yeah. For Mistweaver, like, I guess essentially you'd use this for just additional damage, like during your harmony. So it may make sense to run this as like more of a Fistweaver or the Ancient Teachings build.
Right.
So you have, I don't know if because I don't have Alpha, I can't directly test this, but if the additional damage does, oh no, because Ancient Teachings is all mastery now.
That's one of the hard things figuring out what these are like based on changes to the classes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, to be fair, if this feeds into additional healing from Ancient Teachings, this is potentially a good like dungeon 1-2 pull where you have like maybe in a raid you choose the other one. The Purified Spirit, since you're not playing as much in melee. So
yeah. The next row that we've got is a mix of utility and other stuff. And I'm going to just jump straight to what I think is the most exciting part of this tree and is enough reason for me. Like, Shadowpan's got some work to do. Oh my God. Endless Draft, Celestial Brew has one additional charge. And I believe this is for Mistweaver. Thunder Focus T has one additional charge.
Yeah.
This is really good. There's a lot of cases in raids and dungeons where you want two Celestial Brews in relatively close proximity, and then you just don't need to worry too much. Like, you have sets of two and then big gaps. Something like the tree boss, the first boss of Azure Vault, we've got back-to-back tank busters. And so being able to Celestial Brew both of those is really good. And then you've got a huge amount of time before the next one. So when this is good, it's extremely good. When it's, and then outside of that, it's just like fine, because what happens is similar to what happens with Keg Smash, where you're not pushing Celestial Brew on cooldown. The additional charge allows you to kind of pool that extra CDR that you would otherwise be wasting. Mm-hmm. And just like kind of, it's a little bit of a kind of spiky optimization kind of thing, but it is good. It's good. It just like
having a second charge. Good. More charges. Good.
Yep. Yep. I don't know how Thunder Focus T having a second charge impacts Mistweaver at all, but like Celestial Brew, like you don't need, like this basically replaces that Black Ox Brew a lot of time, which is fine. That means you get to take other things and spend that Black Ox Brew point on something else.
Yeah, so this does change a little bit from Mistweaver, because what this allows is with the second charge. So we did have a talent in the spec tree that gave us an additional charge of Thunder Focus T. They've now changed that talent and moved that sort of functionality here. And so having two charges does allow us to buff now. We could use two charges to buff two different spells of, you know, with Thunder Focus T. Mm-hmm. And if you take Secret Infusion, this is based on Meg's testing. I was talking to her about this. You actually get both buffs. So you get a buff from the first spell and from the second. So now you can't double stack it. Like you can't cast like two Renewing Mists and get double haste buffs, right?
Right.
So you get, but you can get two different buffs, which is
that's
cool.
Pretty good.
So, yeah. So there's a little bit of a change there with this. So no, it's it's just an extra charge. So now we basically end up getting it not baseline, but we have to take this tree to get two Thunder Focus T charges. So which is cool because they made a bunch of other like updates that aren't in the trees to the way some of our spells work. So trying to keep up with that is cool.
And actually the next talent to talk about kind of hints at changes to the Brewmaster tree.
Okay.
We have a choice node, and this is actually a super different choice node for Brewmaster and Mistweaver. So I'm going to talk about the Brewmaster one and maybe it hints a little bit less at the changes to the Brewmaster tree, but the Mistweaver one is interesting. So we've got Mantra of Purity versus Mantra of Tenacity. Mantra of Purity, Purifying Brew removes 10% additional stagger. So this takes it from 50 to 60%, I think. Either that or it's an extra 5%. Anyway, it Purifying Brew purifies more. Anyway, gives you a small absorb shield that absorbs incoming stagger. Just straight value. It's just fine. And then Mantra of Tenacity is the other choice. Fortifying Brew applies a Chi Cocoon. And I am not a Mistweaver. What the hell is a Chi Cocoon?
So Chi Cocoon is the shield that goes on your party when you use Evoke Chi Ji. So when you use Evoke Chi Ji, there's an initial shield that goes out on your team.
How big is that shield?
I actually don't. Okay. No,
and that honestly, that head, might be changed in Alpha 2. Yeah. So, like,
yeah. I mean, it was not a massive shield. Like, it's not like a life cocoon, so it's not gonna prevent a mechanic. But it's probably like a couple, probably like 10-15% of your health. So, or not maybe not that much, but like between 5-10% of your health. So it's something, right?
Yeah. And then for Mistweaver, we have when cast on yourself, your single target healing spells heal for 10% more. And grant a small heal over time for 6 seconds.
It's a little bit of just self-healing, which is, as a healer, you very rarely need this. Also,
but what about Soothing Mist yourself for your Yulon ramp, and then you like.
So it's Yulon ramp is a lot different now because they got rid of Clouded Focus.
Oh, okay.
So
this is like, again, trying to evaluate it versus like current retail.
Yeah, like
one
right now it'd be
work.
Awesome, but no, I this is like, it's, you may take, like the problem is it competes as a choice node with Mantra of Tenacity, which is for us, maybe we get into that to show how this competes. It's like,
yeah, let's talk about Mantra of Tenacity.
Fortifying Brew grants 20% stagger for Mistweaver, which is.
It's so much better than the Brewmaster one.
Yeah, which is awesome. It's cool. You'll be able to mitigate a big hit and then mitigate, you know, some of the damage afterwards through the use of stagger, right? Still trickling out. So
yeah,
it's you generally like you're not as a healer, you rarely will directly heal yourself unless you're going to take a mechanic. So in those cases, it's helpful. But like as a Mistweaver, a lot of your healing is either going to come from just like random hots like your Renewing Mist spreading around and getting the cleave from Vivify, or just like because a lot of our healing is like point based or player based, so like you're a part of that group that gets the sort of the AoE healing. I just see this one being the default choice because like 20% stagger is amazing. I feel like
there's a lot of cases where stagger just doesn't do anything. Like if you're thinking like Fire Act, you have the Aflame dot, and Mantra of Tenacity kind of just doesn't do anything. It's a dot mitigating a dot. You're just like taking the same damage through stagger instead. With no access to purifying stuff, it's just diffusing the damage instead of removing it. But then there's cases where, like, you do a dungeon and you're going to get, you know, you, what's a good example? You have like the, I'm going to go keep going back to this because it's a great example. The first boss of Azure Vault, when it does the thing where it uproots all the trees and you hit Fortifying Brew and it's like that one damage event, 20% mitigation, you can heal through this dagger. It is great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this is, it's a, it's an interesting choice note. I just don't see Mantra Purity getting a ton of play unless,
yeah,
like there is a, like I can see it in maybe some specific mechanical senses where like, yeah, you know, you're going to take a direct mechanic on a fairly regular basis. And so,
yeah,
it makes sense to have more additional self-healing. But like in general, you're going to stack Leech as a healer anyway. That's a ton of self-healing. So,
yeah, I do think it's worth noting there was a pretty popular conduit in Shadowlands for Fortifying Brew that gave you a shield when you cast Fortifying Brew. That was nice. It really helped the cooldown feel more impactful immediately. Yeah. And so Chi Cocoon for the Brewmaster version kind of sort of does that. My recollection of Chi Cocoon is it was kind of a piddly shield and doesn't really compare to that conduit.
No, it's not that big.
But that does maybe. It's a solid maybe. If it read, you know, Fortifying Brew grants Life Cocoon, I would be really excited, but I think that would probably be too good.
Yeah, that'd be a little wild,
Because Life Cocoon right now is really good.
Yeah.
And then the last choice node on this road focuses on Tiger's Lust. And I don't know how you feel about this, but Brewmaster's always... Oh, actually, another class tree change. Tiger's Lust is not mandatory for Brewmaster anymore.
Oh, nice.
Which, I mean, I'm still going to always take it, but... Anyway, the two choices are casting Tiger's Lust reduces the remaining cooldown of roll by 5 seconds. And then Tiger's Lust grants 20%. Oh my God, I cannot talk.
Speed.
20% speed to two allies near its target. Which, the first one's whatever. I like the second one. That's a neat utility bit.
Yeah, it's at least the way that I typically am using Tiger's Lust, like, I don't know how much either of these matter, right? Like,
yeah.
Like I will typically, at least for Mistweaver, like will use it. I'm Brewmaster might be similar for like clearing roots or potentially a specific debuff, right? And because it's just the heal, like the speed increase on allies yeah. around the person you cast it on, it's nice, but I don't think mandatory. Yeah.
This is like a nerfed version of the Torghast power that made Tiger's Lust AoE.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
And I use Tiger's Lust just to run around a lot. There's a lot of cases where I don't want to roll because I'm tanking something and doing the jerky movements with roll is not good for people. Yeah. But I still want to move quick. So doing that and just like incidentally giving a couple of melee a speed boost, it's not like earth shattering, but it's like, okay, I'm happy to have it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the last row, we're not going to... Oh man, but they just have every talent in this tree I want to talk about. Okay. Yeah. And it kind of sucks also because it's every talent in the tree kind of has variations for both.
Yeah. Specs. It's not the same.
This is a tree that has a very neat kind of yin yang thing going on where the Brewmaster thing is like a reflection of the Mistweaver thing and you just like flip it back and forth and it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But we have Overwhelming Force, Rising Sun Kick, Blackout Kick, and Tiger Palm deal 15% additional damage to enemies in a line in front of you. Damage reduced above 5 targets. This AOE. Is just cool.
It's just AOE. It's just like frontal AOE damage. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's good damage too. Like these are good spells. All right. There's Tiger Palm in there. But like Blackout Kick and Rising Sun Kick are good spells.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, it's just an additional like AoE damage now. So we get to like, yeah, potentially not just hitting Spinning Crane Kick anytime we want to AoE things as a Mistweaver. So
yeah. So that's good. I have not read the Mistweaver version of this one, but we're going to. Clarity of Purpose, casting right. Purifying Brew stores vitality increased based on your stagger level. So this is going to be like you purify, that's going to buff your Celestial Brew. It's also going to buff your Aspect of Harmony damage that you deal when you use Celestial Brew. So that's neat.
Yeah. The Mistweaver one is casting Vivify stores vitality and it's increased based on your recent Gust of Mist.
What does that mean?
Not sure exactly. I would assume that it's basically the increase is based on how high, like your it's a function of your gust of mist healing.
Okay.
So like essentially you cast Vivify to trigger the storage, but the amount you store is based on your gust of mist healing. It's a little bit of a mastery interaction there.
Yeah. So like Brewmaster, it's pretty, I don't know if I'd say straightforward, but it's something that's well understood. We have three stagger levels. When something like this happens, it's like there's level one, level two, and level three based on how high your stagger is. So that's like pretty standard. I don't, the mystery one is, I've never seen text like that.
It's just, it's weird. Like it's, I think it's a way to like not, it's basically a way to make mastery potentially more desirable for Mistweaver. Cause like in general, the mastery, it doesn't seem like it's changing based on everything else in the tree. So it's just, we have not enjoyed this mastery since it was introduced. So this just is a way to make mastery of some additional value is the way I'm reading it. So,
yeah. And then lastly, the final choice node, Way of 1,000 Strikes, Rising Sun Kick, Blackout Kick, and Tiger Palm contribute 50% additional vitality. So this is just these abilities are going to make your damage done from Harmony that much more. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether this is this the same for Mistweaver?
It's the same for Mistweaver, yeah.
Okay. So this is your kick weaving talent for Mistweaver. And then Path of Resurgence. Chi Burst increases vitality stored by 25% for 10 seconds. This is kind of an interesting one because it's not Chi Burst stores 25% additional vitality. It is you push Chi Burst and for the next 10 seconds, all of the vitality stored is increased by 25%.
Yeah.
So,
which gives you a reason to push the button. I think this is the idea that it's sort of the other talent is more of a consistent, you know, just increase in vitality that you store based on hitting buttons you're probably hitting anyway. Right. Yeah. And then this is like, okay, for a shorter period of time, if you have a cooldown running or like you're about to do like in Mistweaver case, if there's going to be an AoE event and you have like Yulon you're about to hit or whatever cooldown you hit, you Chi Burst right before that. And now you're getting a bunch of vitality stored. And then you can Thunder Focus T after your cooldown to have like and an even a longer healing throughput piece. So, it seems an interesting way to change. I mean, again, it makes Chi Burst a button you probably want to hit using this. So I think this is just the concept of like, do you want an active, do you want like a typical passive ability that just gives you more vitality? Or do you want sort of active ability you hit to trigger like a, you know, something that also increases your vitality? So
I think there's a important note for like the Brewmaster comparison on these. One of these, Wave 1,000 Strikes, these are all three single target abilities. Like technically Rising Sun Kick and Blackout Kick, you still use an AoE all the time.
Yeah.
But they are fundamentally single target abilities. If you're dealing with large AoE, they're not going to scale into that as well. Path of Resurgence does. So there is a kind of a AoE versus single target choice here, where if you think of like, you know, on a raid boss, you take Wave 1,000 Strikes because it's just going to add more over time than what Path of Resurgence is. But then for Mythic Plus, maybe you take Path of Resurgence and the first thing you do in a pack, right, is you Chi Burst that pack and you go nuts, you hit your kegs, you hit Exploding Keg, you do all your damage, and then you hit Celestial Brew and you get even more damage out of it from that. And so there's some potential there.
Yep.
The capstone. Coalesce. When Aspect of Harmony deals damage, it is a chance to spread to a nearby enemy. When you directly attack an affected target, it has a chance to intensify. Targets damaged or healed by your Aspect of Harmony take 10% increased damage or healing from you.
I don't understand. Like, what it, like, again, it just seems like the Mistweaver one reads very similar, except it's healing. So like Aspect of Healing has a chance to spread to a nearby ally. You heal them, and then when you directly heal the affected target, it has a chance to intensify. I don't know what that means. I don't know if you have done or seen any testing with it.
This was not implemented last week, so I have not gotten to do testing with it yet.
Just give me a percentage. I'm assuming it means like instead of 25%.
Let's ignore the whole first part, right? Let's ignore the whole first part, and it just says you deal 10% increased damage for 10 seconds after casting Celestial Brew, or you do 10% increased healing for 10 seconds after pushing Thunder Focus T.
Yeah.
That's good.
Decent. Yeah.
It's good. Like, just on numbers, that's good. The other stuff, there's some potential for, like, you know, if Harmony is implemented as, like, a dot for Brewmaster or for Mistweaver, and then you, like, you know, you have it out and you've applied your Harmony dot to people. If it functions kind of like Ignite, where it's, like, accumulating damage on a target.
That's true.
And then hopefully doesn't get the old Ignite behavior where it, like, clones the damage around and does really ridiculous damage numbers, because that's not healthy for the game. Just flat out not healthy for the game.
Yeah.
But you know, some neat, like, kind of Ignite spread things, maybe. Some stuff like copying Renewing Mist kind of on the healing side, potentially. We'll see. I'm probably gonna get on Alpha after raid tonight and poke around. Nice. But yeah, some real trees, really good.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. And I think, like I mentioned at the top, I mean, the biggest problem I have with this tree is that, like, depending on how they end up tuning Condo to the Celestials,
right?
Like, the CDR is just
so strong.
It's just very, like, having your cooldowns up quicker for any class. Like, you could give Brewmaster, like, Conduit to the Celestials tree, and, like, it would be maybe a difficult tree to, like, compare with this one, right? Like,
yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting concept with this whole, like, storing healing and triggering it off of Thunder Focus T, at least for Mistweaver. Yeah. It'll be fun to play around with and mess around with, see what works. I mean, hopefully they get the balance right where, like, you trade, like, a consistent every 30 second amount of additional healing with this tree versus, like, hey, if I play my cards right, I got my cooldowns up sooner, but at a more random interval. Right. And so, you know, yeah, it's, I'm happy at least with the first pass of this, and we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see how the rest of the tuning plays out with Alpha. So
yeah, I think that there's definitely a difference here between our perspectives on this. That's just down to Shadow Pan is not a good tree for Brewmaster right now. Conduit of the Celestials is a good tree for Mistweaver right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, we have a choice. And we have something we compare it against. It's almost like the reverse, right? Where this looks good, not great. Conduit of Celestials looks great, and, you know, is what it is. So.
Yeah. I want to take a little bit to talk about the changes to the class tree. We're not going through all of them because, I mean, go look at it on WoWhead. I'm pulling it up on a stream right now, but just go look at it on WoWhead. It's totally different. It's been, like I mentioned, like, Tiger's Lust is not the basic node for Brewmaster anymore. Paralysis is.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of other changes. Chi Wave got revamped. It is now a passive that... So what it reads is every 15 seconds, your next Rising Sun Kicker Vivify fires Chi Wave. And so just, like, a bunch of changes to the tree. I do want to highlight a couple of things. Cat Statue is gone. Nobody will miss it, honestly. But as part of that, Ox Statue is so much easier to access. You actually have to kind of work hard to not take Ox Statue as Brewmaster. And you definitely can. There are choices. But, like, Ox Statue for Brewmaster is going to be much more accessible. I know that was a pain point this expansion as somebody that ended up playing Ox Statue on Sarkareth. Like, it just costs a lot of points to access. It was really frustrating. So that's a lot more accessible. But the most exciting talent in the tree is this one called Lighter Than Air. Roll causes you to become lighter than air, allowing you to double jump to dash forward a short distance once within 5 seconds.
It's super cool.
You can do some fun things with this because it doesn't actually care if you went anywhere with roll. So, like, you can dismount, roll in the air, and then hit your jump button before you hit the ground and reset your falling distance and take no damage.
Yep.
You can roll off a cliff for that fun momentum and then just hit jump before you hit the ground, get a little extra distance, and also take no falling damage.
Yeah. I will say the only problem with this, which is why being tied to roll makes it a little awkward to use, is that when they say forward, like dash forward, it's always where your character is pointing, not where you might be holding the direction. So, like, with roll, you can, you know, you can strafe right and roll, and you will roll right even if you're facing forward. But this will always make you jump forward where one you're facing.
One of the other new roll talents, rushing reflexes. Your your heightened reflexes. I'm going to skip. You do a dash at the end of your roll to an enemy target that's in front of you within 10 yards, which has some unintended interactions, I would say, because if you backwards roll, it will immediately dash you back to them. So you can no longer use backwards roll, basically, in combat.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
So that's one where, like, rushing reflexes really should respect the direction of your roll. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it should just entirely be disabled for a backwards roll, because I don't really want to dash to something I can't see behind me. But like side rolls, maybe respect the direction. And at the very least, if I back roll, I don't want to go back forwards instantly.
Yeah.
But it would be cool if the mini dash from Lighter Than Air also respected direction. If you could like do a strafe dash and back dash, like that sounds cool. Like I've played with this on Alpha. It's a fun talent.
Yeah.
I like it. It is probably my favorite part of the new tree, aside from potentially Blackhawk statue no longer being a pain in the ass. But it would be cool if it respected your movement keys. That would be really cool. Yeah.
And just so everybody knows, like the Ox statue, that node changes depending on the spec. Yeah, so for Mistweaver, it's Soothing Mist, and then Jade Serpent statue. And then for Windwalker, it's not a statue, it's just the cat statue now triggers every time you use Wind. So you don't actually have a separate statue to place down. It's still the cat statue, which is the trigger point is using Zwin.
Yeah.
So, or Zwin. So yeah, it does change talent wise. And then the only other one that changes, just so you're aware too, is Dance of the Wind, which is a choice node for you guys. It's for you, it's just a flat 10% dodge for Brewmaster. Yes. And then for Windwalker and Mistweaver, it's like it's a stacking dodge chance. So like
it's Brewmaster mastery, but for Mistweaver and Windwalker, but without the
scaling. Yeah. So like every you basically get 10% dodge, and then it stacks by 10% every 4 seconds. You don't dodge until you reach 90% dodge, basically. And then when you dodge, it'll reset back.
Actually,
that is
different. Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't require you to actually
get hit.
It will just. It just so like automatically every four seconds get 10% more dodge chance. So, which will be interesting in raid encounters, because if sometimes you have abilities that are targeted, they might not, you're not getting hit by the boss, but the ability might target you and you have the ability to miss or to dodge it. So I wonder if that becomes a thing.
There's a bunch of sneaky ones of those. For example, the Festermouth boss in Brackenhide Hollow, his thing where he eats the tank can be dodged and parried.
Oh, cool.
And he doesn't get the enrage buff if you do that. So Brewmaster can do the thing where you like stack up master. I'm pretty sure. I'm playing Blood Decay right now, and I know I just randomly avoid it sometimes with Dancing Rune Weapon, right?
Yeah.
Which is a huge parry buff. I'm pretty sure you can do the Brewmaster thing where you like stack up mastery and then don't get eaten. But nice. It's a... So there's some sneaky things like that you can just dodge. Like, that's neat.
Very cool. Yeah, but they've massively changed the class tree. So, like, nothing is the same.
We have a bunch of interviews that we did not talk about. I don't know if there's any specific things you want to pull in before we wrap up the show for the day.
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing was that just that Holly comment on the fact that Jeremy Fiesel's sort of running that experimental team. The rest of the interviews are really good. The story ones are cool. The Nagura interview is solid. I guess the Taliesin and Evitel one around the story is cool, just to get a little bit of background of the fact that like they've basically, just on the story piece, like Blizzard knows how this arc ends. Like they have written how it ends, and they sort of know how they get there with, I think, general plot points, but there's still a little bit of wiggle room for, I think, how they change some of those pieces. But at least now it seems like we are starting this whole 3 expansion arc with a starting point and an ending point that is connected.
Yes.
Somewhat. So, which is cool. So we'll see how. Maybe we'll care about the story now, but
we'll see how it plays out. I will say that like Dragonflight's story was a good reset. Yeah. I was actually thinking about recently. It's very interesting how like for most of BFA and Shadowlands, there really wasn't a person or people group under threat at any point by any of the things. It was all just like vague, the universe, right?
Yeah.
But there were here, right? So that, you know, changed the story. I don't know. It was interesting. It made it land, I think.
Yeah. No, it's it'll be interesting to see how the rest of this whole World Cell saga plays out with the three expansions. But it seems like story wise, they've essentially written the ending. For all intents and purposes. Yeah. So, but no, none of the interviews. There's a bunch of stuff. I think the bigger thing, and this is probably maybe where we start next week, is there is a lot of data mined information and also some of it from the interviews themselves. But they talk about like the systems in general, like systems that are staying, systems that are changing. Really the only brand new thing that's come out is Delves. There's a couple interviews that talk about Delves. So
yeah. And I mean, I've done a couple of them. We can talk about those next week too. And I'll say a little bit hit or miss so far.
Yeah. My viewpoint of it is like, this is their shot at Torghast 2.0. And I don't know.
I don't think Torghast is like a great comparison.
Okay, cool. Then I'm on board. Cause at least I've seen or like read, it's at least in my mind, that's how I've started to parallel it. So I will.
Yeah.
Stop doing that then.
I don't want to make this podcast too much longer. And I do want to mention the Towley interview. They ask about tank threat and get an interesting answer. The short version, not to bait you guys too hard, the short version is no significant changes to tank threat, but they want it to not be a like real problem that you're fighting all the time. But that's kind of how things are right now. Threat's not a huge problem except in keys. When people hit all their buttons on pull, looking at you, Demon Hunters. and Devastation Evokers. Yeah. Oh my god. Dragon Rage, and they get all the pyres, and then all of a sudden they have all the threat.
Yeah, we lost a dragon on the trash on the tree boss in Algathar. So that is definitely a thing.
But yeah. I think that is going to be it for the show today. We have with every alpha season, we just have so much to talk about. Yeah. So we're going to be back. We're going to talk about a bunch more of this next week. Yep. But for today, that is going to be it for the show. Thank you all for watching and or listening. I'm sorry this has not been getting uploaded to YouTube. I'm going to get that fixed this week. If you want to support this show and the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, come and join the Discord. It is the best place to theory craft, fieldy craft, whatever about the new hero talent trees, and talk about the things you would like to see, both in the changes like Mistweaver talent tree, spec tree has been changed. Brewmasters has not yet. So maybe there's a chance that we get some pretty cool stuff. I will say we have no explicit statement that it's going to get remade, but there's clash in the class tree now, and the clash that's in the spec tree no longer works. It does not give you clash. So there's a pretty good chance something's changing.
Yeah, probably.
but yeah, that is going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Dragon Slayer, we have not done that. However, there are class tree changes that we're going to talk about today, I think. Would be cool. So, did Mistweaver get a spec tree change yet?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Brewmaster's, so yeah. Brewmaster's I think the it's one on. That hasn't.
Yeah, I think it's on WoWhead now too, and the Alpha.
Yeah.
I can double check it real quick.
That's actually, so like there's, the Brewmaster tree is interesting because like there's specific nodes that I would be like, just get rid of those. Nobody takes those. Like Attenuation, that Bone Dust Brew talent that reduces cooldown reduction, but it still has the hard cap from like Shadowlands beta when you could have 100% Bone Dust Brew uptime, which is not really that big of a deal because you could just have 100% Bone Dust Brew uptime now.
Yeah.
With the other talent.
Yeah.
So it's just like a different way of accomplishing the same thing, except you can't because of the CDR cap. So like nobody plays it. It's 0% play rate. And then stuff like the invoke Nizao talents, I would like to see cut or significantly changed. And honestly, like it's pretty significant buffs to invoke Nizao if we're going to keep that as a cooldown. Like yeah. maybe it gets rolled into Weapons of Order or something. But on the whole, I actually really like the Brewmaster tree. There's a lot of flexibility and there's a lot of like places to move points around. The stuff that sucks is like the 2-point talents that just suck up a bunch of your points at the end of the tree, where you've got like high tolerance and I'm blanking out the blackout kick one that costs 2 points and gives you stacks of elusive brawler when you crit. I'm blanking on the name of it. Hang on, I'm gonna look it up. Elusive footwork, 2 points, right? And so think like the 2-pointers in there combined with like needing to go over and pick up generally like blackout combo, you end up with like, you can't really put points into Anvil and Stave, for example, even though Anvil and Stave is actually a really fun CDR talent. I really like it. I play with it in keys sometimes when I don't care as much about doing good damage because it is expensive to take. It costs 2 points.
Yeah.
But like the point restrictions at the end of the tree just kind of like mean that you can't do that. And there's stuff like dropping Storm Stout's last keg, which is another talent that like people really like having because of point constraints. And some of it is these like, there's the one mandatory 2-point talent, which is elusive footwork. Like you just have to take that.
Yeah.
And then there's just a bunch of other, like you need to go get Bone Dust Brew and Bountiful Brew. And then you need to go get the Weapons of Order node, whether you take Press the Advantage or Weapons of Order. I'm not going to litigate that right here, but like you need to have one of those two. And then generally you're also taking Chi Surge, and that's like, that's a lot of points.
Yeah. That's a lot to spread around.
Yeah.
To like make sure you hit all those. Yeah.
The middle of the tree. Like I think that there's the middle of the tree suffers from having bad talents like Celestial Flames. Celestial Flames is a bad talent. It was always a bad talent. It's still a bad talent. And some of that can be fixed by fixing the bugs with it, where like you lose the damage reduction bonus to Breath of Fire that comes from it if you reapply Breath of Fire, which you're going to do a lot because that's part of our kit now.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones that are like Graceful Exit requires too many points to reach, even though I do like the talent. And stuff like Zen Meditation... Fundamental Observation is like pretty tough to, again, spend points on, which is fine. Like having choices between points is fine. Honestly, one thing that I would like to see done, and we'll get into the real podcast soon, is removing South Alabama Strength. That's the one that Breath of Fire's cooldown is reset by Keg Smash, and just making it baseline.
Gotcha. So yeah, don't waste the point. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just, it has a really nice effect on the rotation. It's nice to play with. But it also ends up, if Breath of Fire is good, like if it is good to push Breath of Fire, you just take it because pushing Breath of Fire more to activate other synergies like Charred Passions or like the bonus damage from Dragonfire, Dragonfire Brew, the extra like burns from that. You just, so now you're really incentivized to cast South Salacrum Strength more.
Yeah.
Or Breath of Fire more. So you take Salsa, you take Salsas. So like make it baseline. Oh yeah, the Fortifying Brew node also, like just make that baseline. I think that's basically 0% play rate as well. Like that's, and that's the kind of thing where like just take some of the things that are 0% play rate, either fix them or remove them and replace them. And then some of the things that are 100% play rate, make some of them baseline. And but there's not like big like structural thing. I think the tree is mostly fine. That's like fair. the top part of our tree is good. The bottom part of our tree is like really point tight and just has some 2-point nodes that are too expensive. And the middle part is just like core class stuff that I don't really, nobody interacts with. You just have to path through it.